Welcome to On Strategy Showcase. I'm Fergus O'Carroll in Chicago. As always, you can see all of the creative work associated with our episodes and listen to those same episodes on our website at onstrategyshowcase.com. I think we've got close to 150 episodes up there right now, and it is growing by the month. Anyway, a couple of upcoming episodes include Johnny Walker are coming on the show with their latest iteration of the wonderful Keep Walking campaign. We also have a third Classics episode that we're launching. It's DDB's Think Small campaign for VW, this one from the 1960s. The actual Classics series is going gangbusters, so thank you to everybody. I'm glad you're enjoying it. It's our third episode. VW will be our third episode, so we're really excited about that. It's a terrific way to extend the show. We also have an episode coming up with Edelman about trust as a brand metric. Now, I worked for a number of years on Ford Motor Company where my brand metric was trust, and I will not kid you, it nearly drove me crazy. So I'm looking forward to having a conversation with Edelman to see how that term is being defined in 2022. We also have Extra Gum and their wonderful pandemic comeback campaign coming up in the next few weeks. And then lastly, we're launching our new 6-episode series on effective campaign planning starting in late September. I'll give you more on that as we get closer to it, but we have big name people coming on the show and each of them taking a different topic within effective campaign planning. And this isn't about effectiveness, which is generally associated with a metric at the end of a campaign. This is about planning effectively at every stage in the development and deployment of a campaign. So it's going to be a good one. Back to today's episode, we talked today with Liquid Death. I'm not sure if you're familiar with it, but it's a brand that contradicts, you know, many of the conventions of marketing and has a hell of a lot of fun doing it. The Liquid Death actually started as simple, plain drinking water, but it was packaged differently and marketed very uniquely. If you haven't heard, its tagline is "Murder Your Thirst." It started back in 2019, and it was started by an agency creative. And in its latest round of funding, it was valued at $500 million. So for me, it's a great example of being a sustainable product without being too earnest about sustainability. And it also recognizes that being too focused on sustainability may sometimes limit your business opportunity. Now, before I roll this episode, I want to make one point. I actually goofed up with my microphone. It wasn't properly turned on for this recording, so it sounds like I'm stuck in a closet. So I did apologize to the guests, and now I apologize to all of you. But of course, listening to me is less important than hearing the guests. Lastly, if you have any questions about this episode, and there may be many, you can email me at hello@onstrategyshowcase.com. If we use your question on a future show, your name will remain anonymous. If you submit a question, we're happy to get the guests to answer it on a future episode. So this is Liquid Death with Andy Pearson, VP of Creative at their in-house creative group, and Greg Fass, VP of Marketing. Enjoy.
The first question that I have is the obvious sort of naysayer question, which is, are you guys taking the piss? You know, part of me was like, this must be like an SNL skit. It's a perfect example of what would have been an SNL skit, but it is in actuality a real product with good intentions and a growing successful business. What tell us about where it all started, Greg, and what you guys are all about.
It was taking the piss. The idea of Liquid Death started as a marketing construct before it was a real brand with real product. And so it started with a really great video on Facebook that, you know, took off to the point that, you know, our founders, they needed, you know, they started to field requests of people that actually wanted to carry this product that hadn't been developed yet. And that's when it really kicked in for them, like, oh, we might be onto something here. We should start developing this product. And that's really how Liquid Death was born. You know, the video was someone being waterboarded, right? And it wasn't really paid off until the very end. But that video, you know, went viral, as the kids say.
Hi, I'm a professional actor. And I'm getting paid to tell you about a revolutionary new product.
Liquid Death Mountain Water.
For years, a bunch of marketing fuckboys have tricked you into thinking that water is just some girly drink for yoga moms. Just look at all the cute brand names and dainty little bottles. Well, hold on to your hot dogs, because I got news. Water isn't cute. Water is deadly. It kills innocent surfers and snowboarders and kayakers. Every year, water is responsible for thousands and thousands of deaths. Energy drinks only kill, like, what, one or two kids?
Was it just sort of a skit, fun thing to do, or was it a serious attempt to build a business? Or was it, did the business just sort of organically happen, or was it originally planned?
I think it's probably a little both. I think you look at who marketers and advertisers hold up as the best advertising there is out there. And it's really a lot of times it's the brands that are the most unhealthy for us. And so that was sort of the origin of the idea in a lot of ways, was how can we take the thing that's literally the most healthy thing in the world, water, and make it look like the least healthy thing in the world, you know, beer or energy drinks, package it like that, and then use that as sort of a vehicle and a mechanism to, you know, as you're saying, take the piss out of all marketing in general. And so it's, you know, we like to say Liquid Death is sort of this evil plan to make the world more healthy and sustainable. And, you know, it's in a way kind of a Trojan horse that you willingly welcome into your home, because we're having fun and we're, like, as you said, we kind of have a good mission behind it. So that was really the intention, was to build the brand off the back of humor, off the back of but also good intention as well, and knowing that we need that the brand itself had to be viral in order to compete in a world where, you know, as a up and coming business or brand, you have zero marketing dollars. So how do you build a brand that in and of itself is naturally viral?
So Greg, tell us about Mike Cesario, who he is, and give me your perspective on where this came from. Is this a guy who is just entrepreneurial in spirit, or is this in his heart, or is this a guy who is very mission oriented as it relates to sustainability? Because I'm not yet clear exactly on where it started. You know what I mean? What was the primary motivation?
Yeah. So Mike, I think what's so unique about him, you know, he is, you know, entrepreneurial at the heart, at his heart. And I think what's so great about him and why Liquid Death as a brand has seen so much success is that he, you know, his brain is extremely creative, right? Like he, you know, his career up until this point has been in the ad agency world, creative director, writer. You know, the years and years in the ad agency world, working on all sorts of different clients from the creative side. Plus, like his, you know, his growing up in the action sports world, in the punk and the metal world. Like, I think he has this like really strong creative brain, but he mixes that with a really intelligent business mind as well. And I think, you know, the fact that he has both of those sides is what has led Liquid Death to not only grow from the business side, but also put out, you know, consistently some of the best creative that you know, that's been coming out, I think, in the past few years. So yeah, I mean, I think this brand is his brainchild. I think so much of, you know, the creative and the brand itself is kind of born out of like all of these brilliant ideas that he had throughout the years that would be pitched to clients and shot down, right? It's like,
yeah,
Liquid Death does and actually brings to life all the ideas that would have otherwise, you know, been killed on the floor.
And I also think, like, I mean, on a sort of personal note, probably for all of us, is we spend our years, our entire careers pushing whatever product is the one that comes across our desk, right? Or whatever yeah. one the agency wins. And whether you care about it or not, right? You could spend your whole, I always like to pick on Ritz crackers. I don't know why, but just the idea of like spending years of your life working on Ritz is very funny to me. But like, look, you could spend like years of your life working on Ritz or whatever, or working on, you know, some energy company or something. And so I think, you know, you reach a point in your career too, where you kind of say like, hey, can we use all of these skills, all of this knowledge and experience that we have to actually do something that's worthwhile and is actually creating change? And I think that was also the point where he got was like, let's use all this marketing trickery and all these things we know how to do, and actually push a product that will legitimately change people's, push people to become healthier, may change the way people look at single-use plastics and help change that sort of pollution, both from the ground up and from the top down. You know, a big part of the brand is this death to plastic messaging.
Yeah.
And that's really trying to get people off single-use plastics. And when you talk about the water category and how, you know, you're saying it was sort of saturated, just pull up like a picture of what the water aisle looks like, or go to your store, and it's all the same plastic bottles. They're slightly different shapes. Some say spring water, some may not say that at all, but they all are essentially the same product sitting there on the shelf. And the big thing that unites them is all this plastic that's being used. And if you go, and this was part of the discovery too, of the origin of the product, was like, hey, what if we put water, we took water and we made it look like beer. Okay. So now we're putting in a tall boy aluminum can.
Why water?
Why water?
Yeah. Why was the business started around water? Why did you guys decide, or why did Mike from the beginning decide, okay, we're going to build the business around water?
Going back to some of the origin stories of the brand, one of the inspirations was when Mike was at Warped Tour, you see these energy drink brands who, you know, all sponsor these bands and these musicians that are on stage, and what looks like they're pounding energy drinks all day, right?
Yeah.
And what they're actually doing is taking those energy drink bottles and filling them with water, right? And these artists, they would never touch energy drinks with a 10-foot pole, but you know, they get big sponsorship contracts, and so they sit up there with these energy drink looking bottles, but they're really just drinking water. As musicians, as snowboarders and skateboarders, water is what really fuels us on the day-to-day basis, not an energy drink. And so let's take, you know, the entertainment value from those types of, you know, junk foods and sugary drinks and put it towards the healthiest thing that you can drink with water. And I think the other piece to it is, you know, really like youth culture as a whole is way more into being healthy and eco-friendly now. And so when you take, you know, the emphasis on culture that our brand does, our emphasis on entertainment and humor and art, and you match that with a product like water, I think that's really where the brand starts to take off, right? Because we compete with the cool factor of these unhealthy brands, but then we offer a product that everyone and their moms drink.
Were there other sort of brands, Andy, that you guys looked at for inspiration in terms of developing? Because you had to obviously create this identity and this personality for the brand. Were there others out there that you had seen before that you sort of admired and thought, a little bit of this and a little bit of that makes something that we might be able to do?
Again, I'll say I wasn't in the room as the brand was kind of, you know, being fully developed. I will say, you know, I think we really aspire to be in a category of one in a lot of ways. The places that we look to for inspiration are more like, as you said, at the very beginning, the very top, you said SNL, like, is this an SNL a commercial? A lot of times we say that, like, literally we'll be working on stuff and we're like, okay, so what would the SNL version of this be? And then that's what we go with. So, you know, we look to, you know, it goes to our bigger marketing strategy, which is entertainment over marketing. We want to make stuff that people enjoy. And at the end of the day, again, you know, I think we're in a privileged position because it's water. And as Greg said, we don't have to do too much explaining other than the fact that it's water. And then you're sort of off to the races. But, you know, we really look to be an entertainment property as well. And so that's sort of more where we look to than any other brand that we might draw inspiration from.
Where did the name Liquid Death come from? And what is Liquid Death supposed to mean?
When you really think about the name Liquid Death, it's all a joke, and it's all supposed to lead into you know, this idea of death to plastic bottles, right? And so, you know, aluminum is infinitely recyclable, and what, you know, most people are starting to learn now is that plastic bottles, they don't actually get recycled anymore.
They get
tossed into a landfill or wind up in our oceans, right? And it's It's something where, you know, sustainable products have been around for a long time. But when they approach the problem of getting people to care about sustainability, they try to use the very sincere sort of messaging. And I think, you know, the average person, you know, they want to be entertained, right? And so for us, we felt that having a product named Liquid Death that really caught your attention, that made you laugh, but also was better for the environment, was going to be a real way that we can make change when it comes to this world of plastic pollution, right? And so if we would have approached, you know, sustainability or sustainably packaged water or beverages the way that, you know, some of our competitors have, like, we would be lost in the sea of sameness of, you know, sustainability messaging. So, you know, now Liquid Death is outselling every other sustainably packaged water combined, right? And it's because we decided not to talk about sustainability the way that they always did, right? And that stems, I think, from the name of the product, right? And then it's extended down through our Death to Plastic mission to this, you know, to how we tell people to murder their thirst, right? Like, it's all this big joke on extreme, you know, culture marketing that we saw with energy drinks that we thought was really over the top and a hilarious thing to make fun of, but then also actually getting people to laugh at a brand that's, you know, better for the world and better for the environment. When we come out with a campaign like our Cutie Palooties, where we have, you know, mutilated sea animals in stuffed animal form, like, that is going to make you stop and be like, what am I watching? And then this is hilarious, right? And that is going to get people to learn more about the plastic problem than if you just hit them over the head with facts.
Cutie Palooties, you're my best friends. Plastic garbage may have killed you, but our fun never ends.
Cutie Palooties are adorable ocean friends that have been mutilated by single-use plastic. So cute.
And even if I lose you, it's no tragedy, 'cause plastic doesn't get recycled and kills more cuties for me.
These cuties are so cute, you'll want to hug them to death.
Launching a brand, you have $0 typically, right? Or in this case, definitely did. And so it was like, you know, as Mike and the other founders were working to create the brand, they were, you know, wanting to create a water brand that acted like a beer brand. And so I know he's talked about before, they were thinking of other names, and it was like Southern Thunder and other kind of like typical like beer sounding names. And he stopped and took a moment and was like, okay, look, I don't have any money to get someone's attention. So what is, if it's sitting on the shelf in a grocery store or a convenience store, what's the name that's going to almost guarantee someone has to stop, is going to stop and take their phone out and take a picture of it? And so that was sort of the unlock of Liquid Death. And then sort of from that tumbled out all these other things that we've been talking about, the idea of Death to Plastic and Murder Your Thirst and, you know, all these different places where the brand goes, really fell out of trying to think how you can build this brand that is going to make people pay attention to it. And then as a result, pay attention to the Death to Plastic messaging as well.
So the unlock, for those who don't know, is the part of the show when we interrupt the conversation to share what we think is the most critical part of the conversation that leads to the greatest growth opportunity for the brand. And we call it the unlock. And I think that while it would be fair to think that the unlock in this case was the brand's decision not to be activist oriented in its marketing, and I do believe that was smart. However, I think the unlock is about to be shared now. Now, I think when we think about our sort of instinct, it might be to think that the product would only work and be targeted towards the skater community and Gen Z and sort of tattooed metalheads. But as you're about to hear, Liquid Death defined its target in a different way, in a broader way, and I think in a very beautifully simple way. It's actually the first time I've heard a target audience defined this way. And I think lastly, without this wider definition, it's questionable how large the business opportunity would have been. So here is the unlock.
So Greg, when you look at the original target audience, you know, whether it was consciously chosen or not. Talk about where the sort of the sales began to initially start among what sort of a crowd.
I think it really started as people who had a sense of humor. You know, people who could see a product like Liquid Death and get a kick out of it and want to be an early adopter, be, you know, holding a can as they were at the gym at 9 a.m. in the morning, getting weird looks from people. You know, they really wanted to.
I love that.
Yeah, no, you know, you're really signaling that, like, hey, I'm someone who has a sense of humor. And, you know, I might also care a little bit more about the environment than you do as you drink, you know, your plastic bottle. And so I think, you know, there's a lot of misconception about the Liquid Death customer. And I think the customer base isn't really who you think it is. Like, you know, we were constantly in the first, you know, first year or so that I was even here, constantly facing this uphill battle that, you know, retailers and partners just thought that our fan base was tattooed metalhead dudes, right? And you know, they saw the skull in the can, they saw the name and the font, and you know, I think they just kind of assumed that, you know, only a certain type of person would like, you know, would like this type of product, and that's not really the case. You know, our customer is esports gamers, moms, rappers, skateboarders, you know, NFL mega fans. Like it is such a wide array. And, you know, perfect example of like, don't judge a book by its cover. You know, if you think about one of our top retailers, we are one of the top selling water brands, it's in Whole Foods, right? Like, who do you think the Whole Foods shopper is?
Exactly. Yeah. That was surprising me. I was like, wow, you know, that's really interesting. Was that an easy sell in or how did that come about?
Well, again, I was not here during the time when we were selling into Whole Foods, but you know, Whole Foods was one of the retailers that really took a shot on us at first. I think that's where we started to build the case that, you know, this brand, this product is not just for the, you know, the tattooed metalhead. This is for a much broader audience of socially conscious, eco-conscious customers, people who have a sense of humor, people who just want to look cool holding a can. Parents, huge fans of Liquid Death because of this can, because of the entertainment that we put out, it's actually getting their kids to be excited about drinking water instead of like sugary energy drinks. And think about the power that has as a parent, right? As you're trying to, you know, convince your children to make a more healthy choice. You know, this is a brand that's really spanning a broad customer base, and everyone has their own reasoning behind why they love it and why it makes sense for them and their family.
So Andy, you mentioned earlier about the idea of action sports, snowboarding, skateboarding. Is that initially where you guys sort of began to see some early stage sales, because you were saying that Mike was involved in those activities? Is that where it started, kind of in the same way as maybe Red Bull did or some of the energy drinks did, and then they mainstreamed pretty quickly?
Yeah, I mean, I think like there's sort of a natural fit there, and if you look at even the composition of the company, we pulled from a lot of friends that we had in this, you know, the skate communities and the music scenes. And Mike certainly came up from that. And Greg and I, we all have some connection to that. So, you know, you have to start somewhere. And it was, again, when you look at the white space and you look at the way that water or again, any health or sustainable focused product was marketed to, no one is talking to those folks. And as Greg said, everyone wants to lead a healthier life. Everyone, especially, you know, younger generations are thinking about their impact on the planet. And no one's talking in the vernacular that, you know, a certain large portion of the population is speaking in. And so, of course, it made sense to go after the stuff that we love and the stuff that we know, because we can kind of talk to that, to everyone using the same sort of language. And then from there, you know, you gain a foothold. And then, as you said, it's like, it just, people sort of caught on to it and got excited about it. And then suddenly you see, again, soccer moms drinking it, and and dudes lifting in the gym, and then, you know, suddenly a teacher's drinking it, and then you see police officers that are snapping photos with it, and it just, like, it grows outward from there. But, you know, you kind of have to start somewhere. And so we've just had this incredible explosion from this core sort of sensibility that we based ourselves in.
So Greg, how do you guys, or do you even do this? Do you sort of track how people are thinking about the brand and what their perceptions are of it?
Yes and no. I mean, I think when it comes to perception, I do work with our social team. We look at the analytics and how people are perceiving the brand through sentiment analysis. And, like, we look at it probably in a much different way than most other brands do, where our ideal sentiment on, like, a campaign that we drop or a piece of content, our ideal sentiment is 50% positive. Right. So yes, like, we do keep track of it, but I think, you know, with us, like, and Andy can go into this on the creative side, but we're always looking for tension, right? Tension between something unexpected and totally, you know, unhinged at times, but combining that with something that has, you know, the core root, as always, that we talked about a lot here, of health and sustainability, right? And so when we put out things that are super out there, we really hope that 50% of people don't get it and are going to be upset about it, angry about it. And 50% of people are going to defend it and call it the most hilarious thing ever. And that conversation is what really leads to our best performing content, getting the type of coverage and conversation that we need in order to not, you know, in order to make it, essentially. Right. Because, you know, we spend very little on media, and every, like, you know, the brand has grown through these organic pieces of content that drive tons of conversation and social shares and press. And that allows us to grow the brand and get the eyeballs on the brand without spending the media dollars. And so, we track the sentiment, but in a different way and for a different purpose.
Yeah, there was an article, for those who want to check it out, there was an article in Wall Street Journal a couple of weeks ago about the brand. And one of the things that was mentioned in that, they were kind of talking about the how buzz was being generated around the brand. I think it was a teacher who saw a kid in class drinking one of these tall boys. I think I'm remembering this right. And it's that sort of shock value to somebody holding this can, because it actually looks like you are drinking in a beer in what many times can be a completely unexpected and inappropriate place. And you guys sort of, Andy, you made a spot that built off of that with the kids. Can you tell us about what that was? And then I want to start digging into some of the different things you've done in marketing.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, so we made our big Super Bowl debut last year with a 30-second spot. It was really correct me if I'm wrong, it's pretty much the only TV spot we've ever run. Was Super Bowl. It was essentially, you know, a party of kids having a real banger, dancing around, getting wild.
Like kids, like 7 and 8 year old kids.
Yeah, seven, eight year old kids. Yeah. Thanks. And set to a cover of Judas Priest, Breaking the Law. and they're just getting super wild. And, you know, one of them is passed out. Maybe because she's tired and had to take a nap on the table. But they're just drinking water.
Breaking the law, breaking the law. Breaking the law, breaking the law. Breaking the law, breaking the law.
When we were making this thing, we really looked at a lot of old, like, Coors Light commercials from the 90s. And a lot of times we'll go back and we'll study, like, bad advertising, bad ads or in commercials and stuff, and then almost replicate some of that stuff shot for shot. So we took some, if you look at the product shots, it's all, like, you know, Liquid Death cans being pulled out of an ice, water ice chest in this, like, slow-mo fashion, the way that an old Coors Light can might be. And so but also just making sure that everything we're doing with the children, we're just, you know, dancing around, and as I said, there's someone passed out, but kids I mean, I have two children, they pass out all the time.
Right.
So, I mean, it's so funny because to Greg's point about 50%, I mean, it was like split down the center, exactly 50%, basically on the night of the Super Bowl and all the conversations after that.
Well, it seems that you guys really follow that thought of being sort of strategically consistent, but creatively unpredictable. It's like, yes. You know, you guys.
Yes. Totally.
Tell me about that.
I mean, when I started here, I remember the first week I like was looking at our Instagram feed and I was like, geez, this thing is a mess. It's so all over the place. And I so quickly realized, I was like, oh, my job here is to give people creative whiplash, because the most exciting fun thing about Liquid Death is you never know what we're going to do next. Like, shit, we never know what we're going to do next. Like, it's so open and it's such an open book that's where it comes in. And that's the consistency. And it sounds like cliche, but the consistency is the inconsistency, right? And so one of the reasons why people love us is because we've suddenly brought this thing into the world that never existed before. You never expected, you didn't see coming. And to the point where sometimes we've made creative decisions where something felt too similar. We were working on something in creative development and it felt too similar to something that we'd done, you know, 3 months prior. And so we're just like, let's blow it up and start over and go a totally different direction with it because this feels too similar to something that we've done before. And so it's really, we make those choices very thoughtfully in that we're trying to be wildly inconsistent from execution execution.
Anything you'd add to that, Greg?
Yeah, I mean, I would say, like, I think we say this all the time and it's in, you know, briefs constantly for us as we're thinking about these new ideas and concepts. It's, you know, the goal of basically everything that we put out is to win the internet that day, right? And so when you're focusing it in that one very specific goal, everything you've done in the past, like, doesn't really matter, right? It's like, you can't think about being consistent because something that you did last week or 2 weeks ago or 6 months ago, no one's going to remember, right? And so it just needs to be super original. And it needs to, like, you know, it needs to be the best thing that someone sees on the internet when they're scrolling through that day. That's the bar, right? And so,
in fact, if you are consistent, people are going to shut it out, right? If you're sort of the same drumbeat that you've been, you know, and that's the sort of world of the way that brands buy media, right? It's like, we're going to say the same thing over and over again and going to spend a bunch of money to shove it down your throat until you ingest it, right? And we've just taken a totally 180 approach from that.
So let's talk about some of your favorite initiatives. You guys do so many of them, it's hard for us to go through each of them. So Andy, give us one or two of your favorites that you guys have developed.
Okay. Oh, man.
and then tell us which one of your two kids you prefer.
Yeah. I mean, I have a favorite sleeper hit it wasn't one of our big marketing things, but I think it's such a great encapsulation of what the brand is all about, which is we had this fan who was chugging a can of Liquid Death every day for a year. And he would just post a TikTok about it every single day. His whole TikTok was just this feed of him doing that. And it was coming up like pretty quickly when I started. It was coming up on like a year of this guy doing this. And Greg and I and our social team were sitting around, we're like, what are we going to do for this guy? And we couldn't figure it out. And finally, we had this very silly thought, which was, one thing we haven't talked about is there are, I don't know how many now, Greg, over 100 people with Liquid Death tattoos, our logo on their body at this point, like hands, faces, legs. I mean, everywhere people are getting, we featured a lot in our Instagram feed, which is insane in and of itself that people are just getting a tattoo of a water brand on their bodies in prominent places. It's awesome. It's amazing. And so we kind of looked at it and we're like, man, all these fans have Liquid Death tattoos. What if Liquid Death got a fan tattoo? And so we turned around and we went back to Mike And we're like, Mike, we have an idea. We think you should get a tattoo of this fan. This is like my like first month here. And I was like, I can't believe I'm asking my boss to get a tattoo. And because the thing was, there's like no other brand in the world has a CEO who'd be like, yes, let's do that. And I think it was just, and he kind of thought about it and then was like, all right, let's do it. And so within 2 days he was down at his tattoo place, getting this random dude's face tattooed on his arm. And we made a little video about it. And I mean, the way that this guy lit up when it was posted, I mean, it was such a cool story. And I think it was just such a perfect encapsulation of like the fan love that we have, the way that I see the brand as being very interactive in that sense, where people feel like they can reach us. They feel like it's a brand that kind of belongs to them in a lot of ways too.
So Greg, how about for you? Do you have a favorite or one that's notable for you for any reason?
Man, yeah, I mean, there's so many that I love for different reasons, but I mean, there's some obvious choices of some of the most fun to be a part of. We're like, you know, the Tony Hawk Bloodborne yeah. campaign was just so much fun. It took the internet by storm for about 7 days, right? And so we're constantly interacting with changes in the storyline, new celebrities like Lil Nas X that are getting involved. You know, the level of conversation with that was
now, what just, was it? Describe. I'm not familiar with that one.
Yeah. So with that one. Yeah. So Tony Hawk, he's one of our, one of the brand's ambassadors. And so we took his blood, we filmed it, and then we took that blood and we mixed it into the paint for 100 limited edition skateboards with Liquid Death art. And so Tony Hawk's blood is actually in the paint of these boards. And we sold 100 of them for $500 each on our website. And yeah, we dropped it on a Tuesday morning, and you know, the thing just took off.
Hey, what's up? I'm Tony Hawk, and I recently became an ambassador for Liquid Death Mountain Water. Apparently I didn't read the fine print, and now Liquid Death officially owns my soul and my blood too. I don't know, it's very confusing. They're taking my blood and we're gonna use it for skateboard graphics. So they're gonna mix my blood into the paint and do a limited run of skateboards using my real blood in the graphics. But some of the profits will go towards killing plastic pollution and to building skate parks in underserved communities. Yeah, so I guess go to liquiddeath.com to get skateboards with my blood in it.
The press around it was insane. We had, you know, 15 billion press impressions. There were hundreds of articles. Like it really blew up everywhere. It started like a much larger conversation with Lil Nas X. And you know, he had earlier that year launched his Satan shoes that got a lot of heat and backlash. And I think it started a really positive conversation between how we view different celebrities and you know, very similar things that they had done. And then that ended up bringing these two very unlikely friends together in Lil Nas X and Tony Hawk. And like, you know, I was there to help film this TikTok video on this mega ramp with Tony and Lil Nas, and to see them interacting together, it was one of the coolest things I've ever been a part of.
That's great.
But you know, like I think similar to Andy, like that one was obviously really memorable. But I think the thing that we've put out that's actually one of the most consistent things that we do is our hate comment series.
Yeah,
I think that's probably my favorite thing as a brand. It's something that I get some of the most comments on on a day-to-day basis, which is the fact that when we see an insanely unhinged hate comment out on the internet about the brand, we love to embrace that. Where other brands obviously would want to hide that from the world, afraid of what that being out in the open might do to their reputation, we do the exact opposite, and we lean into it, and we'll post really just like simple screenshots of said comments on our social. And those are by far, you know, some of the most engaged with posts that we put out there. And I think something that really has become like a tentpole of our strategy at Liquid Death. I mean, we've done now two albums, a punk album and a metal album, that use actual hate comments as the lyrics of every song. And you know, basically every campaign, there's the initial launch, and then we kind of gather all of our favorite unhinged hate comments about that campaign. And we like to put them out into the open for everyone to see.
What is Liquid Death? How would you define it as a brand? I mean, is it a beverage brand or is it a brand? Or do you think about it as being something different or more than that? I've got to think you guys could extend this brand into other categories that have sustainability challenges that you can bring that fun spirit and irreverence to.
Yeah. I mean, I think we're really thinking from like the product standpoint. I think we're really thinking of ourselves more of like a beverage brand than just a water brand at this point. You know, even our new three sparkling flavors, they're not your typical sparkling waters, right? That are zero calories, zero sweetener, zero flavor, right? It's that there's, you know, 3 grams of agave nectar mixed with, you know, high quality spring water versus purified tap water, which creates this like really, you know, great flavor, in a beverage, right? So it's, I think we're expanding our horizons. You know, I can't really speak to any of the stuff that's really coming out, but all I can say is that, you know, we are thinking of ourselves more of a beverage brand than just a water brand. And I think the retail sales, the on the ground side of the business, like definitely is, you know, it's built like a really great beverage brand would. But I think then when you have, you know, the marketing and the creative side, which is freed up to be an entertainment brand instead of a marketing brand for a beverage company, I think that's where the difference sort of comes from, right? And, you know, Mike, in every single meeting, every time we review content together, you know, he is constantly pushing us to, you know, to elevate every piece of content, everything we put out there to be at the level of entertainment. Like, would this be good enough for network television? Would this be good enough for, you know, Adult Swim, right? That's the bar that we have to be at. So when I think of, you know, the marketing side of the business, I think it's like, we think of ourselves more of like an entertainment brand. And, you know, I think that's something that we're going to be striving to do even more in that world, taking us even further and further away from traditional marketing, right? Like, cause right now I think a lot of stuff that we put out, it's making fun of marketing so bluntly sometimes that it actually is like in the same format as like an ad, right? A 30-second or 1 minute long ad. It just actually is making fun of marketing, right? And I think what you'll see us start to go towards is really even more entertainment. Like the past two things that we've launched have been, you know, 10 and 12 minute long pieces of long form content, right? Like a video with Bert Kreischer, a workout video that's 12 minutes long and just basically stand up comedy throughout the whole thing is just a taste of, I think, where we're going to go.
It's Andy Pearson. He is VP Creative at Liquid Death, and Greg Foss, VP of Marketing at Liquid Death. Thank you both, guys. I really appreciate your time.
Yeah, thank you so much for having us.
Yeah, this is a blast.
Thank you. And we'll see everybody on the next episode.